Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two OncDocs.
And now we are diving into part two, metastatic bladder cancer. We're going to talk about frontline, second line, side effects.
Absolutely. And this is your specialty. This is what you do. Yeah. So let's go about treatment options for metastatic urothelial cancer.
So I, again, want to break it down into old versus new because the boards, of course, can lag. So the old regimen was, again, platinum-based chemotherapy. So either GemCis and GemCarbo. And then based on the Javelin 100 trial, we had maintenance avelumab for patients that had a response after platinum-based chemotherapy. And the previous was for patients that progressed after platinum. If they didn't get avelumab for whatever reason, you had second-line pembro. And then after that, you had single agent enfortumab, and then also the option to check for FGFR for erdafitinib. And so erdafitinib, remember that it can lead to hyperphosphatemia, and often patients may need phosphate binders. It can lead to stomatitis. There's also an ocular toxicity, so patients need a baseline eye exam, and there's a risk of retinal pigment epithelium detachment. And then previously, sacituzumab govotecan was approved. It's a TROP2 antibody drug conjugate. It's not approved currently, so don't pick that as the answer in bladder cancer.
Okay, I love it. So it sounds like our standard chemos, we love our cisplatin, but you could do carbo. So you could not do carbo in the new adjuvant.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about carbo when we're talking metastatic. So that is one big distinction.
Yeah.
And so what has bladder cancer treatment looked like since 2023?
Yes. So now it's easy. Exactly like you said, EV pembro frontline. If you're in doubt, hopefully in the next few years, just pick EV pembro. So EV-302 is a landmark trial, standing ovation at ESMO. It became our new standard of care. It doubled progression-free survival. It doubled overall survival. And here, EV is dosed at 1.25 milligrams per kilogram on day one and day eight of a 21-day cycle, along with pembrolizumab, 200 milligrams on day one of the 21-day cycle. And this was compared to platinum-based chemotherapy without immunotherapy. Mm-hmm. And so, as I mentioned, the OS was doubled, so 31.5 versus 16.1 months. And we saw about a third of patients with complete responses. So it's really amazing to have seen in the time of our career how meaningful this trial and these treatments have been for patients with metastatic bladder cancer. And so at ASCO last year, they had updated survival benefit. And, you know, it continues to have the safety data consistent with the primary analysis. And so it's really overall incredibly exciting to have EV pembro in the frontline setting.
It is. This is awesome. So that is absolutely that we need to know about EV pembro. We've talked about it, I think, three times now over the course of these two episodes. And we need to know about the drugs and, of course, the toxicities. So walk us through the toxicities of EV pembro. What do we need to be aware of? What could be tested? And maybe a little about how we treat them.
Yes, absolutely. So you really have to think about skin toxicities. So rash, pruritus can be quite common. Neuropathy is quite common as well. And so that can be one of the most frequent reasons for dose reduction. So from the 1.25, drop that dose to 1 or 0.75. And rarely, I know some people that may even drop down to 0.5, but that's more debatable. You can also have hyperglycemia. So actually patients with the A1C, I think above 8 were excluded from the trial. So for patients with uncontrolled diabetes, be wary of it can lead to DKA. We've all seen cases like that. It can have ocular toxicity, primarily dry eyes too. So refer to ophthalmology. Eye drops can be given. And then it can lead to some of the GI toxicity and cytopenias as well, which are generally more manageable with this kind of treatment. And then of course with pembrolizumab, all the immune-related
itis.
Yes, all the
itis. Every itis possible.
Exactly.
All right. I think we actually covered an episode on that way back when we first started podcasting.
Yeah.
You lovely went through all of the immune toxicity and the treatments and the nuances of that.
Yeah.
Still holds true. So after EV pembro, what do we do in the second and subsequent lines?
So it's really an unanswered paradigm in the second line setting because all of the trials for these other treatments were for progression after platinum-based chemotherapy. Yeah. So you can give platinum-based chemotherapy after EV pembro. There are some retrospective data showing some of the response rates. But really, you want to look for FGFR and you want to look for HER2.
Okay.
So FGFR, again, we have erdafitinib, which we talked about. Don't forget the hyperphosphatemia. And then for HER2, for 3+, or recently the guidelines updated to 2+ immunohistochemistry, you can give trastuzumab deruxtecan. So think of the pan-tumor 01 is the trial. It had across tumor type the agnostic approval of T-DXd for HER2 3+. And so it's exciting that we have more targeted treatments in bladder cancer. And so really, you're going to think of HER2, FGFR, and then if you have neither of those, then platinum-based chemotherapy.
Okay. And then a little bit upstream, if you will. So if we have a urothelial cancer, but it's in the ureter, how are we seeing this, diagnosing it, and treating it?
Yes. So in the metastatic setting, the treatment will essentially be the same as bladder. But in the localized setting, we do think about this a little bit differently. So you're going to do a biopsy, ureteroscopy. And if it's low grade, sometimes they can resect and monitor. But if it's high grade, we know that that can be closer to the muscle invasive bladder cancer. So there is some evidence for neoadjuvant gem cysts for patients with upper tract high grade urothelial carcinoma. And so for those patients, you give 4 cycles of split dose gem cysts. It's a phase 2 trial, so it wasn't randomized. And otherwise, if you go for surgery up front, which in this case is a nephroureterectomy, there is the POUT trial that looks at adjuvant gem cysts or adjuvant gem carbo for those patients. So this is the only place where you're going to have carbo in the perioperative space. Okay. Because if you think of it, it makes sense. Patients are losing their kidney. They're at higher risk for renal dysfunction. So there was a benefit of carbo as well. The immunotherapy role in upper tract is less defined. So there were some patients enrolled in the adjuvant immunotherapy trials, so like adjuvant, nivolumab, CheckMate 274. They were not enrolled in the EV Pembro trials. So it's really unanswered at this time, but there are trials ongoing looking at upper tract specifically with EV Pembro. So I would take it case by case, but for now, I would think of upfront surgery with adjuvant gem cysts or gem carbo, or for select patients, you can do split dose gem cysts.
Great.
And then consider immunotherapy.
Definitely. And you had, on our last episode, you talked about some of the rare subtypes of bladder cancer. And we talked about them in the localized setting, generally surgery up front. But in the metastatic setting, how are we treating these?
Definitely. So urothelial cancer of the prostate, you're going to do a cystoprostatectomy. So remove the prostate and the bladder. For urethral in situ, you're going to do a sequential distal urethrectomy. They actually had that on our boards. I remember this question, which is sort of evil.
How? Yeah, I'm glad that that has been blacked out of my mind.
I know. And so in women, if they have more advanced localized disease, you do chemo radiation for cancer of the urethra specifically. For small cell, we talked about platinum doublets, so cis-etoposide or carbo-etoposide. There, you can consider, I don't think they would test you on this, but you can consider chemo radiation in a localized setting. And then for the metastatic setting, you can consider platinum doublet with immunotherapy extrapolating from lung. For metastatic adenocarcinoma of the bladder, think about FOLFOX. And then there's additional data coming out on the variant histologies and EV Pembro data. It's all coming from retrospective data from the UNITE registry. But on a case by case, I do look at that data and I do think of, is this a type of cancer that has the potential to respond to EV Pembro, even though those patients with predominant variant histology were excluded?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important to still consider.
Terrific. As always, thank you for covering another great topic in the GU world. And this is our new update for 2026. So what are the key takeaways for metastatic urothelial carcinoma?
So old paradigm, platinum chemo and maintenance avelumab, followed by immunotherapy if they didn't get it, followed by enfortumab or erdafitinib.
Mm-hmm.
New paradigm is frontline EV Pembro, second line FGFR or HER2 therapy, so T-DXd or platinum if you don't have any of those options. And then think about all the toxicities that we talked about. So for EV Pembro specifically, I think that's probably the most testable. So neuropathy, skin, pruritus, hypoglycemia, DKA, as well as ocular toxicity, diarrhea, cytopenias.
Definitely. Awesome. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. Please reach out to us with any corrections or comments on our Instagram or our Twitter, 2OncDocs, and good luck studying for your boards.